is cassette number 2 of a message by David E. Ball entitled Four Corners of the Earth.
Washington is 212 feet.
Below sea level.
Below average Atlantic, not below sea level. You're a few feet above sea level out at the end of the coast, but you're around 212 feet below average Atlantic. Hallelujah. You got the idea. I guess property values after this lesson will be lower. If the sixth seal opens, cancel the meetings, huh? Yeah, but you see, we can't really tell, so I don't want you to think in terms of natural geography or geometry to bring your salvation. It won't be that way. Absolutely, it won't be that way. Because there'll be tidal waves, there'll be crustal change. When I say crustal change, what I mean is that much of a difference on the surface of the earth, weight change, you understand, is going to make mountains and valleys and all that kind of stuff. And remember this, at the opening of the sixth seal, every mountain was moved and every island was moved. Therefore, at the opening of the sixth seal, not only would we have the cataclysm about the movement of the water, but we expect that all the bridges to be down and all the power lines and all this kind of stuff. So it doesn't matter where you are, that's not going to be your salvation. Now you remember this, Isaiah 43. Though thou pass through the waters, they shall not overflow you. Though you pass through the fire, it shall not kindle upon you. Only with your eyes shall thou see and behold the reward of the wicked. Psalm 91. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Listen here. I know of 3 guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who went through a fire 7 times hotter than it ought to be. And I'll tell you, right, just as the doors were open, they were down on their knees praying for the rapture. I can see them now. Lord, where's the fire escape? Send the rapture. But he didn't send it. And they said to the king, O king, there is a God in heaven who is able to deliver us. And whether he delivers us or not, we don't know about that, but we know he's able. And the king says, into the furnace. And in they went. Threw them down and they stood up in the fire. And they saw the fourth man. And the king stood back and he talked to his lieutenants and captains and said, did we not throw 3 men into the fire? And they said, yea, O king. And he said, but look, 4 men in there. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. And when your eyes are on Jesus Christ, there's no fire hot enough. With your eyes on Jesus Christ, you can walk on top of the water. Now that's been done before too. You ask Peter. It was only after he took his eyes off Jesus and listened to the noise of the winds and the waves. Then but as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he could walk. You remember this now. When you've got the fourth man, there is no power. Can you understand? There's no power that can overtake you when your faith, hope, and trust and your eyes are on him. He can deliver you. Now, these patterns have been established. And Jesus has delivered, doth deliver, and shall deliver us from the wrath to come. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Jesus Christ hath, doth, and shall deliver us from the wrath to come. You believe this now. Jesus is going to deliver us. In Proverbs it tells us, someone turn to Proverbs 10:30. I just want to hear that for a minute. I want it read out of one of your Bibles here. Proverbs 10:30. It's such a shocker that I want someone else to read it. If you can find it real quick, I want you to read it because this microphone's right close to you.
The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land.
The what?
The righteous will never be removed.
Say that again. The what?
The righteous will never be removed.
The righteous will what? Oh, but brother, that doesn't fit my theology. The way I've got it figured out, or the way I used to have it figured out, is that the righteous would be removed. But that said, the righteous what?
Will never be removed.
That was Proverbs 10:30. Proverbs 10:30. Never be removed. There's a whole lot of scriptures there. If you want to turn your paper over, there's a whole lot more on the other side that gives you that whole picture all over again. And I certainly don't have time tonight to go through that whole thing with you. But this is the point I want to make. I don't want you to be afraid of God for the things that are coming upon the earth. I want you to fear God, but fear Him in the right way. Do you understand the difference now? We fear Him with a holy awe, a knowledge of His constant presence, that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro the whole earth, and they see everybody. They see everything. Nothing gets away from the Lord. I want you to have that kind of a knowledge and a fear and an awe of His constant presence. A constant awe and awareness of the presence of the Lord. That's the kind of fear. Don't you be afraid of these things that are coming. But you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. Now Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 15, I pray not that you would take them out of the world. This is Jesus praying. Come on now. And He said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but you would what? Keep them from the what?
From the evil.
Keep them from the evil. Now do you see the difference? Do you think that the Father heard that prayer?
Amen.
Then I think we'll be kept from the evil. If Jesus prayed it, it's going to be that way. And He can't have any charge over us. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in the world, you disciples shall have tribulation. Most people are looking for a fire escape to get out of the tribulation. But Jesus said, you're going to get tribulation in this world. In Thessalonians 3:3, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, we find out that He will keep us from evil. The righteous shall inherit the land. In Genesis chapter 41, we find that Pharaoh had dreamed a dream. That's the double parallel. Seven fat cows, skinny cows. Seven fat ears and seven skinny ears. Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream is one. The fat cows and the fat ears, the same thing. Skinny cows and skinny ears, same thing. Then he said, it's because God established it and it's going to shortly come to pass. Later on, it did come to pass. But they paid attention to Joseph. They prepared for the calamity which was to come on the earth. Don't you see? God said over and over and over again, I will not do anything on this earth but what I first reveal it to my friends, the prophets. Now, there are lots of scriptures that will tell you that. If you want to get the scriptures, I can go through the whole list with you. God said He's not going to do anything but what first reveals it to His friends, the prophets. Now, He gave apart first apostles and then what? Prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the unity of faith, until we come into the perfect man. And in the last days, they tell me that down in Florida, they're right now, they're praying for a prophet. In fact, I heard on a tape that Jack Prince made, he is praying that God will raise up a prophet in this land, a real Bible prophet, for the extreme importance of the things that are coming upon this earth. We must have a prophet. And God did have the fivefold ministry, and I can't read in any part of the Bible where He wiped it out. I know this is a shocker to you. Most of us believe that all he's got left are evangelists and pastors, and few people believe in teachers, but certainly nobody believes in an apostle or a prophet nowadays, but I do. I believe that in these last days we're going to have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He's restoring, like, you know, in the latter days, in a tremendous way, what we had in the former. And I believe that these things are coming on the earth, and that there are prophets being raised up in the land, and I'm not looking at a particular man as a prophet, but a prophet company now, a group of people. I might give you some names right now of people. At least I'll give you one name of a man that I believe is being raised up in this land as an end-time prophet. His name is Bill Britton. Now, some people get real mad at Bill Britton, but I don't. I think that he is absolutely a prophet in these last days, and if I were you, I'd get on his mailing list and receive literature on these last time things. He's really hitting things on the button. God is also bringing up other men as prophets in the land. Now, this is what happened. Joseph was right. The people did lined up, made the preparations. Then Joseph's brothers came to him, scared to death when they found out who Joseph was. Because when they left Joseph, he was a little kid in the pit and in a real mess, and they finally pulled him up out of the pit. They tied him to the tail of a camel and walked him through 200 miles of desert, and that was the end of Joseph. They thought that was, you know, let's face it, that was his end. But several years later, they had to go down into Egypt themselves, and where do you think they found Joseph, their brother? On the throne. Joseph the slave is now the king of the world. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Next time you get thrown into a pit, you know it's a training experience for a crown. They were trained. Joseph was trained. But his brothers came to him, and they were not. And the brothers got scared to death, because in the natural realm, if this would have happened to you, play like you're Joseph and a natural guy, what would you have done? I'll show you. I've been waiting for this day. Guards! Get in here. You know, isn't that the way the natural man would do it? But what did Joseph say to his brother? Now look, the brethren were actually down on their faces, prostrate before him. And I just imagine they were wiggling like snakes, scared to death. Every bone and muscle in their body was jerking. Down on their face. Why? Because they knew what they did to the boy. And now he's the king of the world. And what did he say to them? Don't be afraid, boys. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. God made you do it. Now you think on this from, that's a hard testimony. God wanted you to do this to me so that I could save seed in the world. Joseph said in 41:54, all lands came down to Egypt. In 55, all Egypt came to the Pharaoh. In 57, all countries came into Egypt. And we find out in 45:5 that he was there to preserve life, L-I-F-E. I'd like to suggest to you that the seed that he preserved was not only seed of barley and rice and wheat, but he preserved progenerations. He preserved sperm. He preserved natural seed in the loins of natural people. For he said, and the Bible says, any nation that didn't go to Egypt died. And I'm suggesting for your analysis tonight that you're here tonight because of the obedience of Joseph, of Pharaoh, and those people back then. for all nations, all countries. How many understand what I'm, the point I'm trying to get at? We all owe even our very lives at this moment to that story of how we got here and the extreme importance of that. The flood came and took them all away later on, or another time. This was later on in the Bible in Matthew 24. And in Matthew 24, verse 36, it teaches us a real shocker. Turn to it, please. Matthew 24, the most famous rapture scripture of all, the one that says we'll all get raptured first. 36. Now, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What day and hour? Look, nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the time or seasons. But you brethren are not ignorant. You're not in darkness, as though the day should take you as unawares. How many know that, too? There's another scripture that tells you that. This is not an ignorant thing. All right, now watch. Verse 37. As the days of Noah were, so shall the parousia of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage till the day Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Who's them? It says, took them all away. Who?
People outside the ark.
The bad guys got taken away. Is that correct or wrong? Alright. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, that's exactly backward of all my theology I ever learned. Because I figured that when the Son of Man comes, it'll be the good guys taken out. But this says in 39, the flood took out the... Say it. The flood came and took the bad guys out, took them away, and left the good guys. See, it tells you there in 2 Peter 3:3-4 that when the flood came, the flood saved the good guys, gave the title deed to the whole earth to the good guys and took it away from the bad guys. Now do you understand how the meek can inherit the earth? How can the meek get the earth? Except God takes it away from the bad guys, gives it to the good guys. God's going to do it. Now look, the meek shall inherit cloud nine in heaven. Is that what it says? The meek shall inherit the earth. The righteous shall never be removed. He is coming to set up a kingdom on this earth. There is going to be an earthly kingdom, a physical earthly kingdom. And that kingdom is a good kingdom. And where righteousness will rule and reign. Praise God, it's going to work out good for all of us and the whole world. But I had read in verse 40, the way I used to read it, then shall two be in the field, the good one shall be raptured and the other one left. Is that what it says?
No.
But that's what I read. And that's the way we taught it for years. And the evangelists in my denomination, in fact, the denomination that I'm from, I said that very carefully, teaches exactly opposite of what I'm trying to show you tonight. They read it, and they say, then two shall be in the field, and one shall be raptured, and the other left. But that's not what it says. It's as it is in the days of Noah. Well, how was it in the days of Noah? The flood came and took away the bad guys, but it left the good guys and gave them the world. And they then inherited the world. And I saw 24 thrones and 24 elders. And they praised the Lord and said, we shall rule and reign on the earth. There's an earthly kingdom that's to be established right now. And it's a physical kingdom. And it's, look, because he's already come to establish the spiritual kingdom in us. And hopefully the Holy Spirit for the last 2,000 years has been making the changes in our souls. And very soon now, the opening of the sixth seal, That's the time when, you know, we're getting ready for the big change, and that's when it's all going to start to happen. Then two be grinding at the mill. The one will be raptured and the other left. Is that what it says? No. That's what I used to think it said. The one will be taken, the other left. Doesn't say whether it's a good one or the bad one taken, does it? We don't know whether it's the good one or bad one taken first from this scripture, unless you go to 39, and in 39 it implies very strongly that it's the bad guy taken. As in the days of Noah, so that's the way it's going to be later on. The tribulation is going to hit and remove the bad guys and leave the good guys, you know, they're going to make it. Now watch. The scriptures do tell us who will be removed first, the bad guys or the good guys. But it's not in this section. Though I do believe in 39, there's a very strong implication, and to me, verse 39 proves it. But if 39 doesn't prove it to you, I'm sure the other verse will. Matthew chapter 13. Go to Matthew 13, and this one will settle it beyond the least shadow of a doubt. There's absolutely no question about it, that in these end times, there's going to be a big change. I mean, Matthew 13, 37. He answered them and said unto them, Matthew 13, 37. He that soweth the good seed is who? Say it real loud. Son of man. Everybody say it. Now the field is the what?
World.
Say it. Everybody.
World.
The good seed are the children of the what?
Kingdom.
Kingdom. But the tares are the what? Children of the wicked one. Now the enemy that sowed them is who? I want everybody to say it now. Devil. All right. The harvest is the what? End of the world in your King James, but more correctly, the end of the what?
Age.
Okay. And the reapers are the what?
Angels.
Angels.
That could be men, too.
Well, say reapers could be messengers, which would be a more correct rendering, which are obviously men. And I can give you scripture to prove it. Revelation 19:10 and Revelation 21:9 prove that the angels are men, literal men. But we'll go on to that, beyond that. Now, in 13:24, Matthew 13:24, he begins a parable. And we'll read the parable now. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man sowed good seed in his field. But let's read this with interpretation. Who's the man, please?
Son of man.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Jesus. Now the good seed are the what?
The disciples.
The good guys.
Good guys.
And the field is the what?
The earth.
The world, the earth. Okay. So may I read it this way with interpretation? You check me out now. The kingdom of heaven is like when Jesus sowed the good guys in the world. Now you look at verse 24 and see if I did any violence. Is that what it says? With interpretation now. The kingdom of heaven is like when Jesus sows the good guys, puts the good guys in the world. All right, let's read 25. Now, while men slept, his... Who's the enemy now? The devil. So we'll read it this way. While men slept, the devil came and sowed...
Bad guys.
The bad guys among the good guys, and he went away. Now, did you follow that? In other words, in our society today, you should expect to find wheat and tares growing together. Let me try that again. This may be a shocker, but let's try it another way. Jesus had a board of 12 members, and one of them was a devil. Jesus had a board of 12 members, and one of them was a devil. What makes you think you can do any better than Jesus' board? You should not be surprised when you find in your Christian environment the manifestation of a tare. Don't act so surprised when in Christian circles things happen. It's just, how could a Christian do that? All it is a difference between a wheat and a tare. And you should not be one bit surprised. The only possibility of having a surprise is, oh, I'm surprised that he was the one. Not that it was going on at all, but that particular one. You know, I wouldn't have expected it of him. That's about all. But to But to think that things don't go on in Christian society and circles is, you know, it's just backward. In this group here, we got wheat and tares. Now, quit looking at each other. It won't show. We'll read the next verse and find out when it shows. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. For you see, by your fruits you shall know them. Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, peace, all these kind of things. These are fruits of the Spirit, and these are things that will be the fruit and the maturity, showing the maturity of the wheat. Therefore, in the last days, that would be normal in any situation, you know, parallel. In a growing season, it would be the last days that would bring forth the maturity and show the wheat from the tares or the bad guys from the good guys as they begin to mature. Therefore, in these last days, we're standing as candidates for this great baptism, a baptism of love wherein all these fruits of the Spirit are actually operative in our lives. And we are manifested not as tares, but as
wheat.
We want to be the wheat, not the tares. We want to be in that golden green harvest. So, verse 27, the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did not thou sow good seed in the field? Where do you get the tares? Now let's do that with interpretation. The angels of Jesus came unto him and said, Jesus, didn't you sow the good guys in the world? Where do you get these bad guys? You see verse 27? How we're doing that? Are we doing anything wrong? I want to stop here. Shake your head up and down or back and forth. Am I doing anything wrong? Okay, everything's okay. Now, Jesus said unto them, 28, the devil did it. Sounds like a kid, doesn't it? Yeah. And the angel said to Jesus, what do we do then? Go gather up the bad guys? And he said, no. If you gather up the bad guys, you're liable to root up the good guys with them. You see what I'm talking about now? Verse 29. You might hurt the good guys. See, tell you the truth, we're not ready for this big thing. We're not ready enough yet. We don't have enough maturity. We don't have enough love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, mildness, temperance, patience. These things are going to be operative in our lives so that when this rooting comes, we'll still be able to stand because it's going to be the one right next to you. It's going to hurt. Let's face it. There'll be some pretty sad things. I mean, in the natural realm, in the supernatural, spiritual realm, would be really great. But in the, you know, there'll be some real close people to you that you'll find out aren't really wheat at all, but tares. Okay. And verse 30. Let both grow together until the what?
Harvest.
And in the, what's the harvest now?
Close of the age.
End of the age, close of the age, end of the time. And in the time of the end of the age, I'll say to the angels, you better read this, this is so shocking. Read the next one. Gather.
I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them.
What?
Gather the weeds. Bad guy.
All right. The tares. Gather ye first the... What? First the tares. F-I-R-S-T.
For the concluding part of this message by David E. Ball, entitled Four Corners of the Earth, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.